Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Now, here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Craig and Greg Show. I'm Craig. This is Greg. When we talk to you about being a leader, I want to make sure that you understand that we're not talking about you being the top person, the absolute place where the buck stops in your organization. You can be a leader wherever you are in your organization. And so Greg and I want to share with you, beginning today, a series of episodes where we're going to talk about where you lead in different places in your organization. You might lead down because you've got subordinates that report to you, but you know, you also lead across to your peers and your colleagues. And one thing, Greg, that I think a lot of people don't think about when we say the word leadership is leading up, that sometimes you need to provide leadership for somebody that you actually report to.
Right.
So let's unpack that a little bit.
Well, I think the leadership definition for some is like telling people what to do, right? That's the old adage, more of a boss than a leader, in our opinion. But leading up, typical to a church or a corporation, one leader is not enough.
Correct.
It's the next tiers that you might have more leadership fingers throughout the organization, reporting to the main person, whether it's a male or female, it's just a CEO or president. But I think the up part makes it a little more nervous.
Sure.
Like, yeah, they work for me. This is my teammate, or, you know, this is my associate. When you go up, you're like, how do I tell him, her, we're maybe not doing it right? And you've had that where leading up was really freeing and life-giving, and other times you're like, that's very suffocating.
You know? Yeah. Well, and you know, I think that there are some different skills if you have a boss that you report to that is open to receiving feedback versus somebody that is like, nope, it's my way or the highway. You know, if I didn't come up with the idea, I'm not listening to anything else. That one is much harder, but I still don't think that it changes the fact that you have to lead. And right. So leading up has got to be a skill that all of us develop.
And maybe as we go through this podcast, this episode, we're going to give them some tools today of like, you know, assuming some things, right? Like you have a voice in the organization. You're not a minion in some franchise corner and in a different city and, you know, no one listens to you. So I think the voice is one thing that it would be great to, if you want to expound on, like if you have a voice, then what?
Right. Well, I think that if you have a voice, that obviously helps. And if you don't, the other thing that I think is that we need to unpack in this episode is the attitude check. If I can't have a good attitude about the voice that I don't have, if I can't have a good attitude about being a good steward of the responsibilities that I do have, it's probably time for me to move on from that organization because I'm not doing anybody any good by just staying there and grumbling and pouting. It's going to make everybody miserable. So we do have to, I think that is a good thing to consider. Do I have a voice there? Mm-hmm. And then what do I do with my voice?
Right. Yeah. How do I use it to the best of the organization?
Right.
I think the one thing that happens with some of us, if we're leading up to like a CEO level, is do we have enough tools and things to actually lead the troops, whoever we're assigned to or whoever we're a part of a team? And troops, you know, troops are looking for tools and our team's looking for resources. Kind of address that. If you don't get it all, how do you still lead?
Well, you know, in a previous episode, we talked about personal development. And I think that that's where it has to start first is I need to develop myself and I need to develop my own tools at times. I need to have an honest assessment or I need to have a coach or a good friend that's saying to me, you didn't handle that one so well. Maybe you need to get some input here. And then I need to put that into place. And then when I do and I begin to develop my own toolbox, I think that becomes very attractive to people. People that report to you or people that are on the same level as you begin to see that. And then again, if you have a leader that is open to this, they begin to say, hey, that person's got some influence. They have a voice in the organization. They have the ear of a lot of people in the organization. I need to cultivate that. Or you might see that somebody goes, uh-oh, they're a threat to me, because more people like them than like me, and it becomes a popularity contest. That's a totally different issue that has to be addressed at that time.
Those are tough assignments when either someone is too fragile to be the top leader. And I think, you know, tools and resources, sometimes a top leader, if they are fragile, they'll keep some and not tell you, you know, you don't have all the checker pieces you need. That you can't play full chess game because I took a couple.
Right, you got them. So share them. Nope. These are mine. Yeah,
these
right.
are mine. I earned these. I've been here for, you know,
too long. I earned them because I've been here. That's, all right.
Too long is not a number I found out.
No.
We've been here too long. No. I think the one thing for, you know, some of us is if we have to either create, collect, be in charge of change, and then you have the boundaries of, all right, so do I have to get buy-in from the up leader?
Sure.
You know, did they give me empowerment? And the healthy organizations, you can attest to, we're really good. Like the person didn't hesitate. Shall I go to her and make sure it's okay the way I'm doing it?
Right.
And then we've got our previous episodes where we talked about like leaders getting weary.
Sure.
Well, the person who is so fragile up top doesn't want to give the tools. They're going to end up doing all the work.
They'll get tired.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the piece of boundaries is learning sometimes the hard way. And then there's leaders that change, right? So you get a new one and you're like, oh, that's not how she did it.
Now what? Right.
Well, this guy is different, you know, and that's hard. I think the part about the boundaries is a tough one, but I think overstepping or stepping on toes, you want to
So let me give you a couple words that I think that we need to keep in mind. If you're not the point person, if you're in the middle of the organization, two words that I'd give you. First one is stewardship. You've been given a trust. You've been given a responsibility. That might be a job description that it's written out for you, and so you know your responsibility, or it might be sort of implied in the position, but you have a stewardship there. But what you have to keep in mind, the second word that I would give you is accountability. Ultimately, you have to remember, since I'm not the point leader, ultimate accountability does not fall on me. And that's where I think a lot of people get frustrated, is saying they might be doing very well with the stewardship, but then they say, but I want to see these results. Yeah, but bottom line is when the rubber meets the road, you're not the one that's accountable to maybe the shareholders or a board of directors or something like that. So don't get frustrated by what you are not going to be held accountable for.
Right.
That leader that you're trying to lead up to is going to be held accountable to that. So you need to let that accountability stay there. So stewardship is, I think, the main thing that we need to focus on. If we're not the point leader, how do I steward the responsibilities that have been given to me? What do I do in that area?
I have worked with a person who wasn't the top person, but acted like the top person. There was like a unilateral partnership.
Sure.
And, you know, they wanted everyone to come to them. You know, I'm sure they figured, you know, 100 plus employees all reported directly to them. And it was a guy. And but a couple times I've had the opportunity to say, told you so. and that didn't go over very well. I'll just be honest with you, but it was true.
Yes.
It felt good to say.
Sure.
For the nanosecond.
Yep.
And then he couldn't save face. And most around the table knew it was him, on him.
Yep.
But the told you so, I tried that, and it was not very good.
Yep. Well, but
I'm glad I made you laugh.
Yeah. Well, because I've been there too. I've wanted to say that. And you're right, for a nanosecond, it does feel really good. Look at that person that, you know, you say, I told, this is how it's supposed to be, and then it falls apart because they do it their way, and you go, ooh, I told you so. That does feel good. But you know what? Everybody else around knows that you told them so. When you're doing your stewardship thing the right way, everybody else knows you don't have to say it. And I think that that's a very important aspect to guarding our own attitude, because you can sit there like really smug. And even if you don't say the words, you can just be kind of walking around like, you know, like that. And that's not going to get you anywhere.
I learned well some other examples, and I'll kind of tee it up for you. There are other times where, like, I'm going to recommend we don't do it this way because I've seen it this way, and the guy listens or the lady listens. You're like, all right, but I'm not in charge yet. I'm just kind of feeding, I'm feeding you the data so you can make the right call, like an offensive coordinator on a football team. But the ones that they want to run the entire huddle and they're on both sides of the ball and they're in the box and they're selling popcorn, you're like, that leader is exhausting. And I've had one or two in my career of, That's just no fun. Right. And what does a person do then?
You know, right.
We're not job coaching here.
But. No, but you know, so let me give you the other side though. I think it's a bad attitude on our part to be like, haha, I told you so. But I think that it's also on the flip side, like you were just saying, to withhold the information that you should be able to give and then say something like, well, I knew that that wasn't going to work that way. Really? But you didn't share anything.
No.
Yeah. You didn't share anything.
Because I held over here. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're really doing the same thing that that other person's doing. And I think that that is, has got to be, when we're saying, okay, I can live with myself. I can look myself in the mirror and say, I gave good information up front. Ooh, I gave good warnings up front. And if it didn't pan out, I'm willing to say, I gave, okay, apparently my information wasn't very good, and concede to that person, hey, you knew better than I did, so glad you went your way. If it didn't go right, then guard your attitude that you're not going, ha-ha, you know, I was... So I don't mean to just keep on beating the same drum, but it really does have to come back to an attitude thing, because if you can be comfortable with looking yourself in the mirror and say, my attitude has been correct this way, regardless of what this leader above me does, I'm going to probably be able to stay in that organization. But if my attitude gets sour, if I feel the need to always go, told you so, you know, and that kind of stuff, or I'm walking around pouting because they never take my, it's probably time to move on. It's probably not going to be a place where I can stay long term.
We're not career coaching,
no.
But it's just difficult to, you know, keep on hitting your head on the ceiling that's been set artificially wrong or low. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm exhausted here. Mm-hmm. I'm trying. I think the part that I would maybe interject here is to have that conversation with the up leader.
Sure.
And say, honestly, you know, I've got some ideas. How do you want to receive these? Mm-hmm. Because then you kind of give them the control, which was right. My one partner's whole thing was, you know, he loved to control everything, and yet he didn't. But it's like, okay. But I think that's the challenge with control, is it feeds. And if we give them the chance, like, hey, it went this way, what would you like for either feedback or mm-hmm. ideas that it didn't go this way the next time?
Sure.
Giving them a chance.
Yeah. I think that that's very good. You don't have to necessarily say these words, but if your attitude is towards that person, how can I serve you? How could I lift some of the burden off of you? If that's your attitude, to come to them and then say, you know, I have some thoughts about this project. I have some thoughts about this new advertising campaign, our new sales techniques. Would it be okay if I share them with you? Try to get that up front. But there's a phrase too that I heard. It was actually my wife's a school teacher, and one of her principals, when she would be talking to the teachers, I like this phrase. When she wanted to suggest something, she would say, I wonder how it might work if. I wonder what would happen. And so in that way, in even framing it that way, you're not saying to that boss, hey, listen, I got all the details, here's how you should do it. But presenting it, I just kind of wonder what it might look like if we let that advertising agency kick that around a little bit. I wonder what it might look like if we just ask these salespeople if they, and you just kind of throw that idea out there, because by doing that, if the other person decides to adopt it, they could take it as their idea.
Right.
They could say, well, I considered that along with other things, and this is what I decided. Fine.
Right.
Let them take it. You are leading up. And once again, you don't have to say, I told you so. Everybody around knows that you were giving the information and it was taken by them, and you'll get the credit. You know, it'll work out.
I've learned through years in organizations that the organization knows. It's usually the person at the top that doesn't know that they know.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, I know Craig created that good idea, but Billy took the credit.
Yep.
They know. They can snip.
Absolutely.
It. It's not like you're going to win, and you're not going to win if you embarrass the up leader.
Nope.
And that's, you know, what we all learned with one of them is like, yeah, he's just uncoachable, sometimes incurable, you know.
Right.
I think the one part that is fascinating about trying to contribute, I guess is what we're really talking about.
Sure.
Contribute to the yep. major, the mass cause, the mission of the organization. Being proactive is a good thing. And I don't think the way you said it really does bode proactive, like, you know, like whether it's Betsy saying that or you, another situation, that didn't work quite the way we thought. I'm going to take a step back a minute. And you know, maybe at this point, if we would have included a panel for feedback before mm-hmm. we launched this campaign, it could have been better. What do you think? You know, and you give a little more power in the conversation, so it's a dialogue. But being proactive, you know, you're very good at it. You just
well, it, and I think that again, part of what will help us with our attitude is if you take the long range view of this, and I know you probably nobody likes to hear this, but you're going to learn more lessons from things that weren't successful than you are from things that are successful. When things are going really well, it's easy to get comfortable and just say, oh, I don't want to rock the boat, so I'm just going to let this keep going. It's when you something doesn't work that then you learn that lesson. I had a position that I was in where I was trying to lead up and things weren't going well. And in my upper right-hand drawer of my desk, I had a yellow legal pad that I would just keep pulling out and say, and I titled it Future Leadership Lessons. And so this is what I learned from when I tried to lead up and it didn't work. This is what I learned. And I wrote it down and I just kept that in there. And, you know, later on, I ended up implementing almost every thing that was on my list there. That position was challenging, but I learned lessons there that I probably wouldn't have learned if it hadn't been that challenging environment. And so that's, again, going back to that attitude component.
Right.
Okay, sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. So it didn't get through to the boss this time, but I learned something from it. And my own personal development has been expanded. My leadership influence has been expanded, if not with that upper leader, with my colleagues, and maybe right. with people that right. report to me.
I think there's that balance, and you know, hit this one out of the park here. It's a big softball, you know.
Wow.
I'll lob it to you. It's very likely you'll be included in important committees and meetings and conversations if you find motivation and bring meaning. If you try to be mean-spirited mm-hmm. or manipulative, it's probably not going to last long,
right.
this run.
Yep. Talk about that. Well, let me maybe this will hit it out of the park a little bit better. I have this quote from John Maxwell that I had jotted down, and I think that it goes towards that question that you just said. Here's what John Maxwell said: your job isn't to fix the leader; it's to add value. And that's what I think that we need to be focusing on all the time is I can't fix anybody. I have a hard enough time fixing myself, let alone trying to fix somebody else. But I can certainly try to add value to the other person. And in order to do that, I might have to add value to myself by some of the people I talk to, some of the books that I read, some of the seminars I attend, or some of the lessons that I'm learning within that process. So if I can keep adding value, then maybe at some point I'm able to lift that lid for that other person. I'm able to add value to that person. I can't fix them.
Right.
I can't, you know, that's not what I can do. I can maybe give them enough information that they could take it themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're not going to let me change you. Nobody's going to let another person change them. But maybe I've given you enough. And if I've done it with the right attitude that you know I really care about you, maybe you'll take what I've given you and you'll change yourself.
Right.
But you're not gonna let me change you.
For the audience, maybe play with one item that you just finished with is bring value. Mm-hmm. How do we package that? How do we present that so it's received as value, not a know-it-all?
Yeah. That's true. So here's what I used to do when I was working in this place with a tough boss that I was leading up to. I had two boundaries, like physical landmarks for myself. One of them was as I was driving to the office, there was a sign on the side of the road, that yellow sign telling you that there was a sharp curve. When I came up to that curve, that was the spot where I said, okay, I'm almost to the office. My attitude needs to be right now. And if it wasn't, if I honestly, when I was coming up to that, I didn't have the radio on or anything. I was just like tuned in. I was praying a little bit. I was thinking about some things. Then as you made the turn, I could turn left into this neighborhood. There was a dead end, like a cul-de-sac. And I would go down there and I'd sit at the end of that cul-de-sac for a couple minutes and just go, okay. And I have to have my attitude right when I walk in that door. The same thing when I was heading home, there were some train tracks that I crossed when I was maybe about 5 or 6 blocks away from turning into our street where we lived. And so when I went across those train tracks, that was my reminder, okay, I can't bring all of the baggage from the day back home. I have to still come to my house with the right attitude. I can't rain on their parade because I had a bad day at the office. And I think you have to build those things in. If nothing else, maybe you have a friend at work or a friend that doesn't even work with you that you say, hey, I need you to check in with me periodically, maybe on my way to work, send me a quick text. What's your attitude today? Yeah. And I need to make sure that I got that straight. And the bottom line is what I would say, friends, listen, you have to go to work with a good attitude. And if it's not working, you have to leave with a good attitude. You can't, you're going to have to, the attitude is the only thing that you can control. You can't ultimately control that person you're trying to lead up to, but you are 100% in control of your attitude.
Exactly.
And that's where it's awesome. Got to sit.
Yeah. Wrap it up.
All right. So friends, listen, this is a part of what we talk about with our coaching. We've told you before that our coaching is not because we say you can't do this. What we're saying is you are doing it, but maybe you want to do it at a higher level. You want to get over an obstacle or you're stumped on something. That's what our leadership coaching huddles are all about. And so if you go to Maximize Leadership, there'll be a place on the website. You can read about the coaching huddles. But what I encourage you to do is there's a form on there that you can fill out, and then either Greg or I will get in touch with you and we'll just talk a little bit and say we think that we can work with you, or if we'll be honest to say we think that there's somebody else that maybe you need to work with. But we want to be able to bring those resources to you, no matter where you are in your organization, that you can be able to lead across, you can lead down, you can lead up, and you can do it really well. So check that out. And then we want to also be able to provide for you content in our Craig and Greg Show episodes. So Maximize Twitter, Maximize Podcast on Twitter. You can send us some show ideas. Say, why don't you guys talk about this topic? Or on this episode, just leave us a comment below. So how about if you guys talk about this in an upcoming episode? And we'd love to be able to share those principles with you. Stay in touch with us. We want to stay in touch with you. We want to be able to serve you. So be sure that you subscribe, click the bell on YouTube. That way you get notified whenever one of our episodes drop. Talk to you soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.